Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob F. back in your life.
And, yeah.
Here we are. This here we is are. The Legacy Music Hour.
Once again, episode 49.
Yes.
Before we get to today's topic, any top of the show business? There's something you wanted to mention.
Well, right? Technically, I beat Super Mario Land 2 this morning. I had the cartridge, and you know I have one of those old school Game Boys.
Right.
But my wife has a Game Boy Advance.
Uh-huh.
So we popped it in there, and she just went to town because she was a little bored, and she started playing that game. She's really a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
But she got up to the very last level, and it just was giving her fits.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard last level.
Yeah.
But not hard enough for the Fox Switch.
Okay.
And I demolished it. I mean, whatever, man. Come on, give me a break. Give me a challenge.
I mean, it wasn't hard for you.
Oh, no, it was hard. But, uh-huh. I mean, you know, you just got to keep calm, play it cool.
Uh-huh. Memorize it.
Cool like a fox.
Uh-huh.
She actually went on YouTube to watch a playthrough.
Oh, really?
I said, what are you doing? Uh-huh. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
She said, I just need some tips. I said, you know what? I'm going to videotape it, and then I'm going to put it on YouTube so you can watch it.
Yeah, right.
And watch me do it.
Yeah, Rob F. Tips.
Rob F. Tips. Switch tips. So, yeah.
Tips from the Switch.
Finished. I beat that. But, you know, technically she got up to the very last stage.
Right. So,
well, I mean, if that last level is any indication, I mean, the rest of the game is cakewalk. Come on, give me a break.
And so it's basically, it's like, I guess we'll say what you meant by technically is that if somebody beat the last boss of a game, but except for one last hit, and then you press the button just to give that last hit. That's sort of what you meant by technical.
Yes, yeah. it's a technicality.
Yeah.
So, you know, while I do feel like I should be wearing a Super Mario Land Championship belt, there's an asterisk by that.
Right, okay. All right, well, good. That's good work.
Mm-hmm.
let's mention the sponsor.
Oh, that's right. Destiny Games. 42134 Ford Road in Canton, Michigan. Please give them a call, 734-404-5548 for all of your gaming needs, modern and legacy.
And repair.
Repairs. You got a busted system, send it over to them, destiny-games.com.
All right. Now, today's topic is a focus, a composer focus on Koichi Sugiyama.
Okay.
And, you know, he's best known for his work on the Dragon Warrior series, or known in Japan, Dragon Quest series. Although, actually, at a certain point, they started just calling them Dragon Quest in North America also.
Okay.
You know, like the modern Dragon Quest games that come out in North America are just called Dragon Quest.
Right.
But, you know, but during the sort of 8-bit era, known in the North America as Dragon Warrior, in Japan known as Dragon Quest. And, you know, embarrassingly, I actually didn't know anything about him or his work until about a month ago.
Well, even more embarrassing, I didn't know about him until last week.
Right. So, I mean, truth be told, I'd never listened to the Dragon Warrior music before.
Right.
And, you know, but actually, what happened was I was listening to music for the role-playing episode.
Yes.
You know? And, you know, I thought, okay, this is a good opportunity for me to start exploring the Dragon Warrior stuff, because I never did. And I've been really into video game music for the last 10 years.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
I've always been into video game music, but I started to become very, very into it in the last 10 years.
Okay.
And I never listened to it. So when I was listening to Dragon Warrior 4, and I started noticing that the music was really sounded sophisticated, and it sounded like sophisticated classical music.
Okay.
You know? And I just thought, huh, there's something up with this composer. Especially for an 8-bit game, because, you know, on Super Nintendo, you'll hear some pretty sophisticated stuff on Super Nintendo.
Of course.
You know, people like Mari Yamaguchi or, you know, Yuzo Koshiro. I'm speaking of ActRaiser, of course. You know, you'll hear stuff that sort of sounds classical, but I mean, for a Nintendo game, it really sounded just unlike anything I've heard, because just it really sounded like a classical music, you know.
Right.
And so I started looking up the composer and finding out some information about him, and it turns out he's a really interesting story. So let's get into it. I'm going to fade the music out here, Blaster Master, because I think it, you know, just clear the slate before we start talking about this guy. So here's what's interesting about him is that, the reason this stuff sounds classical is he was a trained classical. He had a whole career as a classical composer and conductor. Classical music conductor and composer. He was born in 1931, okay? So he started working on video games when he was 50 or in his 50s. That's already interesting to me. I mean, most of the guys working on video games in the 80s were, you know, right out of college, right. You know? And so he had this whole career in working in classical music, but also working in TV and film and with pop artists and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He had this huge career as a legitimate musician. And then at one point, I guess he was a fan of video games, or at least a fan of this, a fan of this one game by Enix.
Right.
And he wrote a fan letter to Enix about this game. And they were totally, you know, flattered because this guy of his stature was, you know, sending him this letter about their game and stuff. So they decided to ask him if he wanted to try writing music for some of their games. And he did. And so he, I think he did one game before doing Dragon Warrior, but then Dragon Warrior, I think, was his second game. The first game was an MSX game.
Sure.
And he has a huge career. He's in his 50s. And then all of a sudden, he turns to video games, and that becomes his career. And he becomes very well known for the Dragon Warrior series.
Wow.
And that's just, to me, really interesting, you know? That I don't think there's any other case like that where a really established, you know, composer who does real, non video game music starts getting involved with video game music, and that becomes his career, you know?
Yeah.
That's super interesting to me,
that's
you know?
The first I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, born in 1931. I mean, that's he's like an old school kind of guy, you know? Okay, so that's something that's interesting about him. So then in the sort of mid 80s, and he started, so what he did with Dragon Warrior is he arranged it for an orchestra. And I think he did it with the London Philharmonic first.
Okay.
And he did this concert of his music from Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest with London Hill Philharmonic, and then he started doing it with some of the other Dragon Quests, right?
Yeah.
And it became this like thing where he would do these game concerts of his music.
Okay.
Then he started doing it in the early 90s with other people's video game music. And basically that's what became the orchestral game concerts that the Tokyo Philharmonic would do, you know?
Oh.
And I don't know if you remember on the covers episode that I think I played a track that was one of the orchestral game concerts.
Right.
So that whole idea of orchestrating video game music and doing, you know, these orchestral renditions of video game music, that all kind of came from him. He started that whole trend, you know, because before him, nobody was really doing that. So,
right.
I mean, that's also really interesting because now that's really big now. I mean, you see there's a lot of orchestral versions of video game music now, but it all kind of started with Koichi Sugiyama.
Sure.
You know? Okay, so it also what's interesting about that is it kind of really legitimizes video game music. You know, it kind of makes video game music highbrow by having this guy who's this, you know, totally legitimate composer and conductor orchestrate it, and I don't know, that's kind of neat. And this is legitimizing video game music in the mid 80s, you know?
I mean, even to this day, people just think video game music is just a dee-doo-dee.
Right. Yeah, exactly,
right.
Yeah. But even in the mid-80s, when video game music is sort of just becoming an actual thing, it's already kind of getting legitimized by this guy, you know? So that's really interesting. Okay.
Cool.
Now, the one last thing I want to mention about him is that he's like a Japanese nationalist. And he actually, he denies like some stuff that happened that the Japanese did during World War II.
Oh, really?
This is kind of a controversial topic, you know? So like one of the things he denies is the Nanking Massacre. And, you know, I mean, he just straight up denies it or whatever, that that happened.
Publicly? This was on...
Yeah, yeah, he's like written articles about...
Oh, wow.
Like he's done this, he's written articles about stuff that... claiming that, you know, Japanese soldiers didn't do like a lot of stuff that they were accused of doing,
right?
You know, and so it kind of brings up an interesting, I mean, a kind of a controversial sort of topic or a controversial debate, I guess.
Okay,
and that okay, so somebody like, can you still sort of celebrate, or can you separate someone's art from their politics? You know what I mean? Or from their personal beliefs. You know what I mean? I mean, this is, I mean, denying the Nanking Massacre. I mean, it's kind of like somebody saying that the Holocaust didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, on a smaller scale. But, you know, is somebody, I mean, the same debate comes up when you're looking at the films of Leni Riefenstahl. Do you know who that is?
No.
She was a filmmaker and a friend of Hitler's. And she, made these films about like Nazi, you know, like they were like, she did these Nazi propaganda films.
Okay.
And they're really well shot and stuff. And film scholars, they study these films because they're well-made films,
right,
even though they're very pro-Nazi,
right,
you know? And so okay. So yeah, that's the thing. Oh, and another one is that, you know, Wagner's Bridal Chorus, right? You know, Here Comes the Bride, you know?
Oh, right, right.
That's not played at Jewish weddings because Wagner was a known anti-Semite.
Hitler's favorite composer. I think it was Ride of the Valkyries.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, I think so, yeah. And so, so that's the thing. That's the question is, do you celebrate somebody's art even though they don't, their belief system is something that you don't agree with. Well, in the case of today's episode, I guess we're going to do that.
Actually, which leads into next week's topic perfectly, favorite video game music of the Taliban, which is what we're going to do. They're avid 8-bit gamers. So they've sent us a list of things that we're going to play. I know it's a little controversial, but...
That's funny. What am I getting at here? There was one thing I was going to say.
Like, listen, that's news to me, but in this aspect, I mean, I'd say we're celebrating the music.
Yeah. And then also think about it too, in this context, he's born in 1931. So World War II is over when he's about, you know, 14 or so. Right. So
sure.
He's already like a young man when, you know, World War II is over. And so it's sort of like, I mean, he's just coming from such an old generation, you know, that, well, you can kind of factor that in too. You know what I mean?
Well,
that he's like really old fashioned, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're not justifying anything. I mean, we're just playing music. That's really what we're doing.
So, regardless, the music, I mean, I'm totally blown away by this guy musically.
Maybe you shouldn't say blown away in World War II.
right. But his stuff is really interesting because he really takes this sort of classical approach to some of his stuff. Some of it sounds very Baroque, but and you know, Baroque composers are
exactly
a big influence on him. But also, a lot of it sounds very 20th century classical, and he just has some really interesting stuff. So what we're gonna do is first go through all the Dragon Warrior games. We're going to do like a breadth sort of all the games he worked on, you know, within the sort of 8-bit and 16-bit era. We'll look at all the Dragon Warrior games or the Dragon Quest games. And then we'll move into games that he worked on that were not Dragon Warrior or Dragon Quest games. Okay. And then after that, we'll do, he also just worked as an advisor on a few titles, and we'll look at some of those as well. And then at the very, very end, we'll just do a little free for all. So that's that. So let's start it off with a track from Dragon Warrior, which is, you know, from the original Dragon Warrior game. And this is his, this is what he's known for, this music, or from this franchise at least.
Right.
This is an Enix franchise. And this is a track called Unknown World from Dragon Warrior. And I think it's also just known as Overworld. It's the Overworld music in Dragon Warrior. And so this is music by our composer focus of the day, Koichi Sugiyama, music from Dragon Warrior for the Nintendo Entertainment System. This is music from Dragon Warrior, music composed by Koichi Sugiyama, and this is Overworld, or Unknown World, and yeah, this is a short piece.
For Dragon Warrior, I think I'm going to play Tantangel Castle. Throne.
Okay.
Okay, from Dragon Warrior for the NES. Tantangel Castle. I said track two because that's what it is on our player.
It's track three for me.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. I use audio overload, and FYI, if you upgraded to OS Lion on your Mac, a lot of your apps, I'm sure as you all know, are not available to you anymore, including Game Music Box.
Yeah.
So if you're considering moving up to OS Lion, keep that in mind.
So this is Tantangel Castle.
Tantangel Castle, that's right. Very classical. Throne.
Yeah, it's been Baroque. Yeah, you see the Baroque influence,
absolutely.
Definitely. And again, this is from Dragon Warrior, otherwise known as Dragon Quest in Japan, from Koichi Sugiyama. Okay, so let's move over to Dragon Warrior 2 for the Nintendo. And, oh, okay, so I think you have a track picked out for that.
That's right. For Dragon Warrior 2, I think I'd like to play Recounting the Journey.
Yeah, and I think this might be the ending music to the game.
Okay. But it sounds like it could definitely be ending music.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Warrior 2, Recounting the Journey. Now that's what you call ending music.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So let's play something now from Dragon Warrior 3.
Revenge of Dragon Warrior.
Revenge of Columns.
Columns, Revenge of Columns.
And this is... And this is music, of course, by Koichi Sugiyama, our composer focus today in the Legacy Music Hour. And the track we're going to hear is Heavenly Flight from Dragon Warrior 3 for the Nintendo. This is music from Dragon Warrior 3, music by Koichi Sugiyama, and this is Heavenly Flight.
I like how it kind of staggers.
Yeah, slows down. It slows down. It's right there, right there. Did you hear that? Yeah.
It's
there's a classical term for that. A retardando, I think, or something like that.
Oh, yeah?
Something like that, yeah.
Sounds like an insult from the East Coast.
Uh-huh.
Hey, retardando!
I mean, from the mother country. It's an insult from the mother country.
Right.
Yeah, I like that, too. It slows down.
I love that.
There's a retardando there. It's true. I think it's called that. I don't know. Here it comes again, watch. Right there.
It's good. Yeah. Good stuff.
Well, speaking of classical terms, I don't know. Obviously, this is a classical composer working on this music.
Okay.
Dragon Warrior 4 for the Nintendo. Supposedly, this is the first game soundtrack to use a crescendo.
Okay.
Crescendo. Sorry.
Right.
Supposedly, this is the first time to hear that kind of dynamic in a video game.
Sure.
Track. We're not going to hear that particular track. Apparently, it's the battle theme that does that. But the track we are going to hear... Okay, first of all, by the way, Dragon Warrior 4, I think this is really where he really takes it to the next level, you know? The pieces in Dragon Warrior 4, to me, are just really super sophisticated for video game music. It just... it really sounds like classical music. But also specifically 20th century classical music, actually. The track we're going to hear right now is Tomboy Princess's March, Alina. And this is music from Dragon Warrior 4 for the Nintendo, music by Koichi Sugiyama. Music from Dragon Quest IV, Dragon Warrior IV.
Right.
Music by Koichi Sugiyama. This is Tomboy Princess's March, Alina. And I love this piece. It's so, it's very whimsical, and it really sounds to me like 20th century classical music, actually. You know, just, it kind of sounds, I mean, it almost sounds No. It's very picturesque, for one thing, and I'm trying to think of who it reminds me of. I mean, it kind of reminds you, you might even hear something like this from the Nutcracker Suite or something like that. Tchaikovsky. Something like that, you know? Or maybe it's like Kachaturian or something like that, you know? But just there's a really whimsical quality to this, you know? It's got a great melody, too.
It sounds to me like it could be the soundtrack to a silent film.
Oh, okay.
By the way, Dragon Warrior 4, best role-playing game of 1992.
Hmm. Voted by who?
Game Informer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And GamePro.
So we're going to move into the Super Nintendo realm. Or the 16-bit realm.
Yes.
With Dragon Quest V. Dragon Quest V was, I think, eventually released in North America later on some other platform later. But as far as the 16-bit era goes, it was only released in Japan for the Super Famicom.
Okay.
And this track we're going to hear is Taking to the Skies. And, Taken to the Skies, music by Koichi Sugiyama from the game Dragon Quest V for the Super Famicom. This is music from Dragon Quest V, music by Koichi Sugiyama. This is Taking to the Skies. I love that beginning part right there. It actually really reminds me of... that beginning part actually really kind of reminds me of sort of like Raymond Scott, actually. This composer, Raymond Scott. And it kind of reminds me of sort of 1950s sort of... soundtrack music, you know?
Okay.
Like stuff you might hear, I don't know, actually. Yeah. But I really love that beginning section. And I like this whole piece. You definitely, I think, hear a lot of classical influence in it, too. Yeah.
You ever played Dragon Quest V?
I've never played any of the Dragon Warrior Dragon Quest games.
Well, this one also received a lot of positive feedback when it was released. And it was one of the things I'm reading about this game from HardcoreGaming101.net. This is an exact quote here. The way the story is divided by different periods of time has been praised, something that has appeared in very few video games. But I somehow doubt that Time Lord got the same kind of praise. Even though Time Lord preceded this game by about a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Here's that part I like. This reminds me of 1950s music. Yeah. I think that's really, I like that part a lot. That's my favorite part of this.
Up next, Dragon Quest VI. Continue. Was this the final Dragon Quest on the SNES?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think there have been other games since then, right? PlayStation and...
Oh, yeah. No, whatnot. Dragon Quest IX came out last year or something like that. I actually auditioned for the commercial for Dragon Quest IX.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me play this song and I want to hear the story.
There's not really the story.
I want to hear it. Dragon Quest VI, here is... Inviting Village. Dragon Quest VI, Inviting Village, and it's for the Super Famicom.
Yes.
S-Famicom.
Yes. S-Famicom?
S-Famicom.
S-Famicom.
Right. I said SNES, but S-Famicom.
Yeah, right. The story's boring, if you're interested. I mean, I auditioned for it, that's it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, well, I thought you maybe had to play a wizard or a warrior or a troll or something.
Seth Green got the role.
Oh, really?
I think so, yeah.
Hey, what are you going to do? By the way, this game sold for $100. When it was released in 1995 in Japan, which translates to 11,970 yen. It's a lot of yen.
A lot of yen for your buck.
There you go.
Okay, so now we're going to move into some of the games he worked on that were not from the Dragon Quest, Dragon Warrior franchise. We're not going to cover these in chronological order. We'll just kind of go out of order here, but we'll start with EVO. Search for Eden. It's an acronym, EVO. It's E-V. So actually, I guess it's EVO, Search for Eden. And really great soundtrack for this one. The track we're going to hear is called Undersea Maze. And this is, of course, composed by our composer focus, Koichi Sugiyama. And this game is for the Super Nintendo. Music from EVO, Search for Eden, for the Super Nintendo. Music by Koichi Sugiyama, and this is Undersea Maze.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do Monopoly next.
Okay. This,
by the way, this is the Japanese version,
right?
The one that came out on the Super Nintendo was not, it was a different game, I guess,
right?
Or if it was the same game, it was a different soundtrack.
I think Koichi denies existence of the original Monopoly game, and this is the one that exists in his mind.
Uh-huh, yeah,
that's right. Uh-huh. I chose the track Game on 1F.
Yeah, no, I chose that one as well, yeah.
That's a winner.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Here you go. That is Game on 1F from Monopoly, the Japanese version for Famicom.
Up next, we're going to hear from Hanjuku Hiro. Ah, Sakai Yo Hanjuku Nare. And this is, you know, not to be confused with Hanjuku Hiro for the Famicom, which is music by Nobuo Uematsu.
Yes.
This is, it's funny because this is actually Koichi Sugiyama, sort of Enix's Nobuo Uematsu, kind of, you know?
Right.
And anyway, so yeah, he did the soundtrack to this Super Famicom version, which I think is, I mean, I guess it's a sequel, if not a remake. And the track we're going to hear is Ah, May the World Be Half Boiled, which I think that's the, which I think is the title theme. And I think that's actually what that translates to. Hanjuku Hiro, Ah, Sakai Yo Hanjuku Nare. I think that translates to Ah, May the World Be Half Boiled. So that's the track we're going to hear. So I think this is the title theme. And it's music by our composer focus on the Legacy Music Hour, Koichi Sugiyama. Music from Hanjuku Hiro, Ah, Sakai Yo Hanjuku Nare, for the Super Famicom, music by Koichi Sugiyama, and this is the title track, Ah, May the World Be Half Boiled. This part just sounds so classical to me, yeah. Like impressionistic, or kind of, you know.
But
and just to clarify, this is actually a Square game. That he did the music to. I mean, I was saying earlier how Enix is, right. You know, he's sort of Enix's Nobuo Uematsu, but this is actually a Square game. But yeah, this starts off very classical, and then it right here it goes into this pop. This is like a pop song now, you know. Just totally went from
it reminds me of 70s pop.
Right, yeah. It's kind of interesting how it changes from, it totally sounded classical before this, yes. You know? And then and now it's like totally pop.
Okay, up next we have a track from Jesus Kyofu no Bio Monster. And Jesus is actually an acronym.
An acronym, yeah.
J-E-S-U-S.
Yeah.
And Kyofu no Dreadful Bio Monster. I mean, Kyofu no Bio actually means dreadful bio.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I don't think... there's anything really that involves Jesus in here.
I don't think so. The ship is named after
Jesus.
Jesus.
Right.
Yeah.
And maybe there might be some other Bible reference, but The track I am going to play. I'm going to play.
I think it's the main theme that you're. I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the main theme. I mean, there's actually a lot of, from all these games. I've selected multiple. We both have selected multiple tracks, but
yeah,
the main theme for Jesus, Kyofu no Bio Monster. Jesus, Kyogu no Bio Monster, main theme.
All right. I like that. I like that piece a lot.
I like that last piece. I like to think that it just goes, it ends with like, Jesus, Kyogu no Bio Monster.
You mean the title screen? That's when the title screen comes? Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it appears.
Now we're going to hear something from a game called Tetris 2 and Bomb Bliss. And this is the level music. Of course, that last game was for the Famicom.
Yes.
Famicom only. And this game, I think, is... I'm pretty sure this is for the Famicom only as well. Level music from Tetris 2 and Bomb Bliss. From Tetris 2 and Bomb Bliss. Music by Koichi Sugiyama. And this is the level music. This is what you play the puzzles to.
Beautiful piece of music. But I tried to look up tracks for this, and like I told you, mistakenly, I looked up Tetris 2.
Right, right.
Because...
It gets confusing with the Tetris games, because there's so many of them.
And when I was listening to the Tetris 2 soundtrack, I said, this sounds nothing like any other music. Mm-hmm. In the same vein, it's right. Completely different, and there's a reason why. Okay, now we have a game, Akagawa Jirou no Yurei Resha.
By the way, I just want to make a point, too, that he didn't compose exclusively for Enix. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, he's kind of does a lot of different, he's worked on, with a lot of different companies, it looks like, you know.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, go on.
Akagawa Jiro no Yurei Resha. Here is a, what do you got?
Oh, yeah. And also this game, he actually worked on with another composer.
Oh, yeah. Who did you have? I didn't see that.
Yasuhiro Taguchi. So, yeah.
Here is a track. I don't have a track.
Famicom only.
Right. Here we go. Akagawa Jiro no Yurei Resha. I'd also like to note that there are variations of, was at least one in this soundtrack.
Yeah.
And that's something I've noticed in the games as well, from the soundtracks I was listening to, is that there will be a theme or a piece of music like this, and then there will just be variations in the soundtrack. I don't know if that's something that is part of his style.
Well, that's a good transition into the next game we'll hear from, actually. The next game we'll hear from is actually, it's called Torneko no Daiboken Fushigi no Dungeon. And this is a spin-off game from the Dragon Quest series. Mm-hmm. There's a character named Torneko, who I think is named something different in North America,
okay,
or whatever the North American version of, or in a Dragon Warrior game. But anyway, he's a character from Dragon Quest, Torneko, and he has a specific theme in the Dragon Warrior games,
right?
And the soundtrack to this game that's based on him is pretty much every different track is a variation on his theme.
Ah,
so. His theme has a sort of there's a bro quality, I guess, to his theme. But actually, the track we're going to hear is actually one of the few tracks in this game that isn't, I don't think, is a variation on his theme. At least it doesn't sound like. Maybe it is very loosely based on his theme, but I think it's one of the few tracks that isn't. This is of course a Super Famicom release only, and this is called Volcanic Zone. Music from Torneko no Daiboken, and this is Volcanic Zone from composer Koichi Sugiyama for the Super Famicom. Okay, so now we're going to listen to a few games where he only worked as an advisor or supervisor.
Okay.
And we'll start with Saivalian, which we heard on the Taito episode.
Right, Mars. I played the title theme.
Yeah, and I played Chapter 4 from that episode as well. I think a really good soundtrack all the way through, and you definitely can hear his influence in this game because a lot of it sounds like action music, but there's these classical kind of orchestral elements that you hear in the game as well. And I think you'll hear that in the track that I've picked out for this one. The actual composer is Hayato Matsuo, and I guess he's basically Koichi Sugiyama's protege. And so, and I think he advised him on the other, some other stuff too. Okay. And then also the composer Katsunari Kitajima also worked as a composer on this game as well. Saivalian, and this is for the Super Nintendo. This is Chapter 1. Music from Saivalian, Chapter 1. Music composed by Hayato Matsuo, supervised or advised by Koichi Sugiyama, and also working on this title as well as Katsunari Kitajima.
Some serious funk going on.
Yeah, I like that voice going. Dun, 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 you know. Hear that? I think that near the end of this piece, it really starts to get more orchestral. I think that's where you really start to hear the Koichi Sugiyama influence, I feel like, you know? I'm wondering if we should ride this out until that part again. So I think that's my favorite part of the piece, too.
Hey, I can hang.
But this is definitely, like, got some good funky slap bass, too, actually, action. Right here. You hear that?
Like that drum.
think it's the slap bass. I think that's the slap bass doing that.
Brrr, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's slap bass. But here comes the really orchestral part, though. See, to me, this is the Koichi Sugiyama influence, I think, you know?
Now we have Master of Monsters in Sega Genesis.
And actually, this is composed by the same guy as Savalian.
Hayato Matsuo, Hitoshi Sakimoto, and Koichi Sugiyama supervising.
Well, actually, Hitoshi Sakimoto, he only arranged it. Okay. Basically, it was composed by Hayato Matsuo, and then Hayato Matsuo and Hitoshi Sakimoto, they both arranged it together. But it was the compositions are by Hayato Matsuo, and then of course, yeah, supervised by Koichi Sugiyama.
I've got a little number called "Into the Deep Blue Sky."
Mm-hmm.
Master of Monsters, Into the Deep Blue Sky.
That's background music 6.
Beautiful piece.
Yeah, I think this whole soundtrack is really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's this piece, and then I'm actually going to play a piece from this game as well. It sounds like an 80s movie or something, you know?
You know what's funny is I was playing this and my wife was just listening in the background.
Yeah.
She said, that sounds like it's from The NeverEnding Story.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. I can see that, yeah. To me, it reminds me of movies like Running Man or something like that. Or even like Blade Runner or something like that, you know? Yeah, no, I'm actually gonna play a track from this as well. The one I'm gonna play is called Large Green Meadow. And
I had that one down as well.
Yeah, this is background music four. And to me, this is just there's something about this that I really like. It's just super, I don't know, it's actually kind of intense in a way, but it's also kind of like a slow-paced one also. I like that last one. But yeah, again, I'm just thinking like Blade Runner or something like that. But anyway, again, music composed by Hayato Matsuo under the direction or under the tutelage of Koichi Sugiyama. This is music from Master of Monsters, and this is Large Green Meadow, music by Hayato Matsuo, and under the supervision of Koichi Sugiyama. This is our only Genesis game that we're playing on today's episode, but I really like this piece a lot. It's just the atmosphere it creates. It's just, it's really... I love that, the quality of the FM synth on this one, you know? I don't know. It really just seems like an 80s movie, you know?
I think of Terminator.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Apocalyptic. Totally. Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. bass line I like right here. This part right here. Like something about the bass, something about the like chord changes here I really like. All right, and we're gonna hear one more game that he was only an advisor on, and this is Itadaki Street 2, Neon Sign Wabara Iro Ni. And the composer on this is actually Kiyohi Tsutsumi. And the track we're going to hear is Well Then, and it's for the Super Famicom. ¶¶ Itadaki Street 2, music by Kiyohi Tsutsumi, under the supervision of Kuji Sugiyama. This is called Well Then, and I really like the how it's this piece sort of ends and starts, you know.
Yeah.
I really like that part of it. But yeah, that's okay. So now we're gonna finish up this episode by just playing a couple free choices from Koichi Sugiyama. I'll go first, right?
Do it.
Episode 49. So I'm going to go back to Dragon Warrior 4. Actually, both of my choices I'm going to play are from Dragon Warrior 4.
Okay.
This soundtrack really impressed me, especially for a Nintendo soundtrack. I mean, not that they're, I mean, no, not that Nintendo is inferior to other consoles, but, just like I said, the sort of sophistication, like classical sophistication that's you hear in this music really just, it really impressed me. So, the track we're going to hear actually is, it's called Balloon's Flight, and it's from Dragon Warrior 4. And this is the track when I was listening to the soundtrack, this is the track in particular, and I was listening to it and I thought, there's something up with this composer. This isn't just an ordinary composer, you know? Because this just, there's meter changes and it really is so unusual for a video game piece of music, just with the meter changes and stuff. And it really sounds like impressionistic music and sort of 20th century classical music. So Balloon's Flight from Dragon Warrior 4, music by Koichi Sugiyama. Thank you. music from Dragon Quest IV, Dragon Warrior IV, music composed by Koichi Sugiyama. This is Balloon's Flight. And, I mean, this to me is just straight up classical music, you know? It just has all the sort of elements of classic music, except for that it's, I guess classical music could be electronic too, but...
Okay.
But yeah, just not, with all the meter changes and stuff like that.
Not Baroque,
but just classical totally music. 20th century, totally mm-hmm. 20th century classical music all the way. Like, the meter changes here like this, you know? Yeah. Anyway, I just, this piece right here, just, when I heard it, I just thought, this is, you know, I mean, this is really taking video game music to another level, I think, you know?
I'm going to go with another track from Jesus Kyogu no Bio Monster.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't have a track name for this one.
Right.
But here is another track for your enjoyment on our composer focus. Jesus Kyogu no Bio Monster. It's a shorty.
It's not a shorty. I mean...
Well, compared to all the other pieces we've played today.
We've heard some other 30-second pieces, I think.
By the way, this is, I think, one of the few Japanese composers that goes long.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, definitely, that balloon... Yeah, totally, that balloon... Balloon's Flight one? That was definitely one.
Shades of Western composers.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think the reason why he goes long is just because it's, you know, he has this classical influence, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. he's this classical composer. He's really, you know, he's coming from a whole different school of thought, I think, when it comes to composing the music. It's not as, you know, yeah. I think it's that classical approach, you know, that, and I suppose actually his classical approach is probably influenced by Western, you know, classical composers,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, definitely. It's definitely influenced by Western classical composers, you know?
Right.
Okay. European ones, I'm saying. Yeah.
As the great Ice Cube would say, West Side.
So I'm going to play another track from Dragon Warrior 4.
Okay.
And this is called... this is called Cursed Towers from our composer focus, Koichi Sugiyama, on the Legacy Music Hour. Thank you. music from Dragon Warrior 4. This is Cursed Towers, music by Koichi Sugiyama. And yeah, just I really love this piece too. And also, you know, I really highly recommend checking out the orchestral versions of this that he arranged and conducts, the London Philharmonic. And actually, for this game in particular, or this orchestral version of the game, they actually shot like a sort of music video to it, or like a film to the whole concert. You know, you kind of see this kind of stuff on like PBS, you know, like these really classic art showcase type things, you know?
Yeah.
There's one of those type of situations for the Dragon Quest IV soundtrack, the orchestral version with the London Philharmonic and him conducting. And in the orchestral version sound really cool. They do this piece, Cursed Towers, and they also do that Balloons Flight that I played before
right,
this.
Right.
And they, you know, they do other stuff. They don't do that other one that I did, the Tomboy Princesses March. But okay. Yeah, I highly recommend checking that out. And you can actually see the videos on the internet, actually. And it's kind of funny because they're very PBS-like, you know?
Oh,
which,
yeah.
Again, like, just really making video game music a highbrow thing by making it this sort of, you know, PBS type of situation.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, you could totally see those videos. I mean, you can imagine seeing those videos on PBS or something like that. And to think it's video game music, I mean, that's really kind of, you would never think that you're going to see something video game music related on PBS. You
right.
know? And especially, and in the 80s too, on top of that.
I'm closing out my set with Dragon Warrior 2.
Okay.
Okay. Here is All Hope is Lost. All Hope is Lost. Dragon Warrior 2.
And it has that thing.
Our old friend. Here it comes.
Our old friend, this musical phrase. Mm. No, no.
Maybe this is some menu music or...
It's probably when you die, I imagine, right?
Oh, you think so?
Like, or like a game over or something. Okay. All Hope is Lost. It's probably sure. when you die or something, right?
Well, knowing me and RPG games, this is should be played before I even start.
Okay, well, that brings us to an end on our focus on Koichi Sugiyama. For a full track listing, check out legacymusichour.com. And if you want to contact us, you can reach us at legacymusichour@gmail.com. You can call us as well, too, if you want.
281-SONIC-91. We love your phone calls, your texts, and your emails as well. We love that feedback.
And also, what's our next... Oh, yeah, next topic is our 50th anniversary.
50th anniversary, my friend.
And so...
Wow, has it almost been a year?
It's almost a year.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's going to be our 50th one-year anniversary.
Wow, I don't know.
No, but yeah, so we'll be doing a free play episode for
okay,
that.
Okay, okay. By the way, what's your favorite kind of cake?
Cake?
Yeah.
I like something fruity.
Something fruity?
Something fruity, and I like kind of like a mousse mixed with a sort of
fruit.
cake, and fruit. Like, I like a mix, but like I like something interesting.
Hmm.
A moussey, not moussey, but moussey, like kind of, I don't know. I like fruity, definitely.
Oh, let me see.
Fruity. And
we have to make a little celebration of it.
Right. Well, do we celebrate the 50th or do we celebrate the 52nd,
right,
though?
Right,
Because the 52nd will be, that's actually the 52 weeks. That's a year.
But 50 is significant. It's the 50-year anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, 50 that's year, true. Yeah, yeah. 50 it's episode. Our 50-year anniversary. Well, anniversary means year, so we've been saying 50th anniversary.
Oh.
I don't mind saying that. 50-year anniversary. We say 50, yeah, we'll say, we'll call it the 50-year anniversary.
Okay, but then I'll bring cake for the 50, for our one-year anniversary.
For the 52 or for the 50?
52. Cake for 52.
Oh, 52.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I was wondering if we should just not acknowledge 52 and just round up to it being a year on 50 because it's close enough and plus 50 is free play. I don't know, whatever.
No, but what happens? What if we break up before 52?
Well, we'll still count it as a year.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to leave you with the title theme music to Dragon Warrior. This is the main theme of Dragon Warrior. The whole franchise uses this theme. It's sort of the... This is the Dragon Warrior theme or the Dragon Quest theme.
Right.
Apparently, Koichi Sugiyama wrote this in 5 minutes, supposedly. That's what I heard. Or that's what I read.
Prolific.
And but this is like the sort of, title theme to Dragon Warrior from Dragon Warrior 1, but also sort of the main theme in Dragon Warrior used in all the Dragon Warriors, Dragon Quests. Okay, that's it. My name is Brent Weinbach.
Rob Fox Switch.
The name of the show is The Legacy Music Hour. Thank you for listening.